Do you ever feel that the magnitude of the death of Christ is too much to take in? Has anyone ever had that experience? That you think you just see a glimpse of what it means, but there's so much more to understand that we could spend the whole of eternity trying to understand why Jesus died. I think it says in one of the scriptures that the angels long to look into these things. You know, the angels don't have that sinfulness. They don't have that need to be forgiven and redeemed like us. So they don't appreciate the blessing of forgiveness because they've never experienced that. The angels long to look into these things, and I believe that for all eternity we will be seeking to understand this more. I did about 20 hours driving last week, and driving is really boring, but sometimes you can get a good audiobook, and I listened to the whole of John Stott's book, The Cross of Christ, and it was 13 chapters explaining and worshiping God for the death of Christ, and even he was just scratching the surface. And it was so wonderful because he's a great preacher, and how he was able to talk about the death of Christ as a rescue, as a redemption, a setting free from sin and death. See, the Passover was a celebration of God's great rescue and redemption. God's great liberation from Egypt, from the power of Pharaoh, the power of evil tyranny. And through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed and set free from sin and death. But it's also a revelation, because we cannot understand it without the help of God's Word and God's Spirit. And in this breaking of bread and taking of wine, God can speak to us. I've heard so many stories about people that have tried to understand how to become a Christian. And then they would hear something said like, "Take it. It's for you. It's for sinners. Take it." And just in the simple words, "Take it," somehow God spoke to them about the free offer of his grace, that we cannot earn a relationship with God. We put our trust in what he's done through sending his Son. And we can take it, not because we're good enough, but because the sinless one died in our place. It's a revelation. And it's also a thanksgiving. It's a time to say thank you to God. How often we go through our lives in such a rush that we don't stop to say thank you. It's a remembrance, a remembering of what it cost him, a remembering of how he's fulfilled all his promises. It's a proclamation in picture language. It's like baptism. We had the baptisms recently, and people came to this church who had never seen a baptism before, and they came away with an understanding of the gospel because of a picture of life given to God, of death and resurrection in the pool. And here's another picture of God's great love for us. His body given for us, his blood shed for us. But today, on a day when many hearts are hurting because another one of our loved church members has died, we're also looking for something from God by way of comfort. And in this communion service, there is a comforting word for all of us who are mourning today. And it's the words of Jesus. I'm going to read from verse 26 to 29. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins." What Jesus is saying there is that a new family of God is being created. A new family of God from every nation, of those who put their trust in what he has done. Jew and Gentile are included in the many. But then he says, "And I tell you, I will not drink from the fruit of this vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." The whole of this meal, this Last Supper, Jesus was thinking about his death. Someone's going to betray me here. This is my body given for you. This is my blood for you. Death is the main theme in this Last Supper. And it must have been so awkward for the disciples in that moment to hear Jesus speaking about his death. But then he said, this cup that I drink, I will drink it again with you on the other side of death. Isn't that wonderful? He says, we're going to be reunited again. And we're going to celebrate together again. Death is not the end. Death is the pathway to a new beginning. The finished work of Christ is so important to emphasize. The words that Jesus gave from the cross, "Tetelestai," it is finished. There's no more that needs to be done for your forgiveness to be secured, for your eternal life to be secured. There's nothing more that needs to be done. The work is finished, but Jesus is not finished. We'll see him again. As we prepare to take this meal, I want to read to you from a hymn, which is Jeff's, I think it was one of Jeff's favorite hymns. It's called "Rock of Ages." "Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyelids close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. We're going to sing another song now, which is Jesus choosing the cross for us as we prepare to take the bread and the wine.